Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
All right. Well, I was reading the other day in the Bible, and I came across something that you would think, you know, you read a bunch of names and you read a situation, and a lot of times we just let stuff we read in the Bible kind of go out of our head. And this just really hit me, and it was just really one sentence that really hit me. I'm going to have to read more than that. I'm going to have to read some hard names that I have been practicing. but this really hit me. So I know you probably can't read that very well. It says, "Yes, you can," or "Who's your daddy?" Yeah. Yeah? Can you see it? Okay. Yeah. So I knew that that probably might offend some of you who don't like to refer to God as your daddy or your dad, because we always want to think of God as holy, and he is. He is holy. And so a lot of times we think he's our heavenly father, and he is our heavenly father, but we always say that with a holy tone of voice too. But sometimes when we do that, we put him so far out there that he's not attainable, he's not reachable, there's no relationship, because we start thinking in our mind that he's our father and he's so holy and he's so far away that he couldn't possibly care about what happens to us. So I just decided to leave. I kind of put that up there when I was playing with the PowerPoint, and then I thought, I'm just going to leave it. I'm just going to leave it up there. Or who's your daddy? Because sometimes we forget when we face situations in life, we think there's nothing we can do about it. But yes, we can. There is something we can do about it. And got to remember, who's your daddy? Who's your father? Who has all the power and all of the might and everything that you need for life? So we can't put God so far out there that he's not reachable to us. So when I call my dad, who's over here, I don't usually call him and say, "Father," right? I don't say... When I try to get his attention, I don't say "father." I say "dad." You know, if he's really not paying attention, I'll say "Jess Beck," you know, so to get his attention. But, you know, usually dad gets his attention, but I'm his daughter. But I have another father, right? I have another father who I just have to say, I can say "dad" to him, and he would be good with it. He just wants us to have relationship. So there are a lot of things we face in life that are kind of rough. You want to go to the next slide? That's not a fun sight if you see that coming your direction, is it? No. My grandmother lived in Oklahoma, and we'd go up there and spend time with her, and she had what she called a root cellar. Y'all have a root cellar? Kind of, it was across the driveway, so if you're in the house, you got to run across the driveway, the gravel driveway. There's no cement. It's gravel. And you have to run and get in the root cellar. Well, to me, the root cellar was a little bit scarier than the tornado, because there are spiders down there and there are snakes down there. I don't want to be down there. I want to take my chances, you know. But, you know, there are people who see this coming and they think, there's nothing I can do about that. That's just coming my direction. But we can pray, can't we? Could God make that jump over your house? Have you ever heard stories about that? People pray and the tornado just moves, or it jumps over their house, and you see all these houses totally destroyed, and here's this one house that's just nothing, not a shingle missing, nothing. God can do what he wants to do. Let's go to the next one. That's Hurricane Katrina right there. If you have a hurricane coming your way, it's a little scary. I've been in one when we were in Alabama. Hurricane Opal was still a hurricane when it came over Montgomery, which is pretty far track to go and still be a hurricane, but they sent us home early to get everything out of our yard, get everything strapped down, you know, and we had pine trees in our yard, and I just knew they were going to fall on our house, you know, so I prepare everything. I wouldn't let the kids sleep in their bedroom, because the bedroom was by the pine trees, and I didn't want it to fall on their bed, you know, while they're sleeping in there, so we all camped out in my room, and of course, my husband's gone, you know, so it's me and the kids. Brian's in safer ground at a school that the fire department sent him to. So it's me and the hurricane and the kids in Alabama with no family nearby. But we had God. God took care of us. He did. What's the next one? Now, we don't have this in Texas, but a tsunami, right? That is scary. That water, look, there's a car kind of buried right there. There's cars over there. All that water coming your direction is scary, but God can take care of that. Then we have illness. That's not supposed to be in your brain. It's a scan of a brain. Illness comes our way. But is God God? God is God. I was reading, this is where I got this, and this is what really hit me. In Jeremiah 38, it says, "Now Shephatiah, son of Matan, Gedaliah, son of Pashur, Jehukal, son of Chelemiah, and Pashur, son of Malchijah, heard what Jeremiah had been telling the people. He had been saying, 'This is what the Lord says. Everyone who stays in Jerusalem will die from war, famine, or disease. But those who surrender to the Babylonians will live. Their reward will be life. They will live.' The Lord also says, 'The city of Jerusalem will certainly be handed over to the army of the king of Babylon, who will capture it.' So these officials went to the king and said, 'Sir, this man must die. That kind of talk will undermine the morale of the few fighting men we have left, as well as that of all the people. This man is a traitor.' King Zedekiah agreed. 'All right,' he said, 'do as you can. I can't stop you.'" When I read, "I can't stop you," I thought, you're the king. What do you mean you can't stop them? You've got authority, you've got power, you've got people at your disposal. What kind of wimp are you? You know, is what I'm thinking. But we do that sometimes. A lot of times we live life thinking when things happen, well, I can't stop it. Well, there's nothing I can do about it. So it really hit me like a ton of bricks that a lot of times we as Christians have a defeatist attitude when it comes to the enemy. He comes against us and we think, oh, well, there's nothing I can do. We act in the same way every day. We don't believe we have any authority to stop the enemy's plans for our life. We all know God has a plan for us, but the enemy has a plan for us too. It's not just God. The enemy's got his own plan. We don't want to fall in with that. But we think once he starts coming against us, oh well, sometimes we just kind of shrug our shoulders. But I want you to think about this for a minute. This is a little test. How many times have the words, "there is nothing I can do about it," come out of your mouth? How many times have you said that to yourself? Maybe in your inside voice in your brain. Maybe you haven't said it out loud, but maybe you've said, "there's nothing I can do about it." Sometimes we live by the hee-haw motto. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression. Excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. And we walk around like that. And then we wonder why people don't want what we have. Because who wants that? Right? We want to have the attitude that God is our Father. And God can take care of this situation. We don't want to walk around down in the dumps and depressed. And you know, and I'm not saying things don't come our way that upset us and depress us. Of course it does. We live in a fallen world. We face things that should never, you know, wasn't God's intention for us to face ever. But we do. We got to remember who our Father is. We've got to remember who's the glory and the lifter of our head. We've got to remember those things. And we have to realize we have power. We don't have power by ourselves. Because the enemy can come against me and I'd be toast, right? I mean, I'm no match for Satan. He's got more power than Cindy Thomas has. But he doesn't have more power than Cindy Thomas and Jesus has, right? That's where your strength comes from. And so you just have to make sure that you have that relationship with the Lord where he is, beat the enemy, beat him to a pulp. Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." How many? I'm going to go a little side route here. How many of you find it difficult when you're talking to a stranger, somebody you don't know, and they're telling you all their woes and stuff, sometimes you have a little bit of trouble saying, well, you know, can I pray for you? Or, you know, Jesus could help you with that. Sometimes that's a little intimidating because we don't want to be, you know, we don't want somebody to say, no, I don't want you to help me. No, I don't want to hear what you have to say. Rejected, that's the word I was looking for. We don't want to be rejected. So sometimes that's hard, but the Holy Spirit gives us that power to be able to do that, and that helps people. Just walking through people's stuff with them is helpful. We can't fix their problem, but we can walk through their stuff. And Jesus is the fixer of stuff, right? So he can take care of that. Learn what that authority is. We have to realize that we have power. Learn what our authority is. Search the scriptures. Find scriptures that tell you who you are in Christ. Find scriptures that tell you about the power of God. And then if you can't memorize stuff, like my brain's going, I don't know about y'all, but I have a hard time memorizing things. But you can write it down and you can read it over and over and over until it starts to sink in our brain, because we spend too much time saying we can't do something as opposed to filling our head with those scriptures that say we can do it. So get you some little index cards, something, write the scriptures down that apply to the situation you're in and read them over and over and over until you start believing it. You start believing that is true. So read it till you know it and believe it. Matthew 10:1 says, Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. Jesus can heal anything, and he can do it through us, through our prayers. Scripture also says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain, right? We look at that and we think, that's just crazy. I could never do that. But Jesus does it through us. The Holy Spirit does it through us. We just have to have the faith. Then we need to start exercising your authority. Now, we're going to eat here in a minute, but let's talk about exercise. Let's all stand and do jumping jacks. No, I'm just kidding. But you don't go from couch potato to marathon runner overnight, do you? I've never even wanted to be a marathon runner, but if that crazy thought had come through my mind, I would know that I need to start small, right? Sometimes it's easier for us to start small when we see a project or anything that comes our way. I have to start small in cleaning house because I have house cleaning ADD, where I go in one room and start working, and I go in another room, and then I see something there, and I start working there, and then I go over here, I start working. So pretty soon, nothing is done, right? So my husband is not like that. He goes one task to the next task to the next task. He makes himself a list. He goes through every little area. He checks it off. But he's done in an hour, and he's got everything done. It takes me all day because I'm rambling around trying to remember what I'm doing most of the time. So sometimes, though, even with faith and even with exercising our authority, believe God for something small. Maybe you don't start with, you know, I want $1 million. You know, and he gives us our needs, not our wants, too. Sometimes he gives us our wants, but if he knows that your $1 million is going to make that your idol, he's not going to give it to you, you know. So Brian said the other day, he said, I don't know why we don't win the lottery. And I said, well, probably because we don't play it. But other than that, I don't either. I don't know. So, but start small. Start, you know, you go to the gym, you don't hop up on that treadmill for 30 minutes even. You might make 5. If you're lucky, you might make 5. And that's okay, right? You're starting. It's okay. And it's the same way with some. When we have that faith issue and we're trying to grow our faith, start with something little and build it up. Because when he starts answering those things and you start seeing the answers to those prayers, man, you start feeling like you can take on anything. Because you remember what he's done for you to Because when he answers a prayer and you go to the next thing, you think, well, God answered this, so he can answer this. And then he answers that. And you go, oh, well, God answered this, he can answer this. And you grow. You exercise your authority. So also pray in the power and the authority of Jesus' name. Can we all agree Jesus has authority? Right? He has authority. So remember who your Father is. Remember who Jesus is. And remember who you are. You are precious to God. I was telling them at prayer this morning, sometimes, you know, and I told y'all before on my job, I sometimes talk to really mean people. I don't know how else to say it. They're just mean, you know? But I have to remember God loves them. They are precious to God. No matter how mean they are, Jesus died for them just like he died for me. You know? So we have to remember who we are and that we are precious to Jesus. He cares about what happens to us, doesn't he? Yeah. He cares. It says the very hairs on our head are numbered. First of all, huh? Did you say some of us was less?
Some days there's less.
Oh. Oh, boy. It's about time that we told Satan how it is going to be instead of listening to how he says it's going to be. Too many times we listen to what Satan says and what the situation, what he says is going to happen, and we don't tell him, no, that is not what's going to happen. I am a child of the King. That is not going to happen. I am not going to stand for it. The Bible says, and that's when you can't remember, you pull out your cards, right? The Bible says, if I have the faith of a mustard seed, the Bible says, you are the glory and the lifter of my head. The Bible says, God is my strong tower. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. We start telling him how it is, and he flees from the Word of God. Satan is not going to sit there and argue with you. When you start telling him the Word of God, you give him the name of Jesus and say, get out. He's got to get out. So we got to remember that. And then we need to, when we're praying and we're exercising our faith, we need to expect results. Expect it. You know what our problem is? We expect our car to start. We expect our blow dryer to turn on. We expect the lights to come on in our house. But when we pray, we hope it works. We don't expect. We have got to expect. We've got to pray expecting the answer is on its way. You know, God has told me some things that is going to happen in our life. And he has told me, start thanking me. It's already in the works. Start thanking me for it. I've got to expect it. I do expect it. I expect it to happen. So that's what we've got to do. We've got to expect things. We've got to rely more on God than on stuff. Because our car is a thing. Our blow dryer is a thing. You know, it is bad for a lady when the blow dryer doesn't work, but usually it does. So we just expect it to. We've got to expect God to answer our prayers. We've got to come to him expecting. There's a couple of stories I want to read to you that there are testimonies or of miracles. So I want to read these to you, and just to kind of boost your faith a little bit. It's not going to be on the overhead or anything. But this is a lady named Tiffany Gillian, and this is her testimony. She said, 7 years ago, my husband Shane, who was a construction contractor and a volunteer youth minister at a Baptist church in Arkansas, called and said our little boy Brayden had been in a wreck and was in terrible shape. I asked if Brayden would be okay, and my husband had no response, which alarmed me terribly. Waiting for my parents to drive me to the hospital, I felt so helpless. I dropped to my knees and began praying. Then I started phoning everyone I knew and asked for prayer, and they called other people. When I arrived at the hospital, my husband was crying in a way I had never seen a man cry. He didn't want me to see Brayden. When I did, it was terrible. His head was caved in on one side. He had blood coming from his ears, eyes, nose, and mouth. His pelvis appeared to be completely crushed. His catheter was full of blood, which means internal bleeding. The doctor told us the prognosis looked very grave, and he might not make the flight to a bigger hospital in Springfield, Missouri. The thought of placing my baby on a helicopter by himself was just more than I could handle. The pilot asked if I wanted to ride, which is not usually allowed. I held onto my little boy's arm and prayed during the whole flight that God would heal his broken little body. I told God I knew Braden was only on loan to me, but I wasn't ready not to be his mommy. I fully trusted God that he would take care of my baby boy. I fully trusted God to take care of my baby boy. When we landed, everything was so fast-paced. I was placed in a little room all by myself. There I just continued to pray. After an eternity, which probably was really 40 minutes, the doctor came into the room. He seemed to be in shock. All of the x-rays and tests had been redone, and my little boy didn't have a broken bone in his body. No internal bleeding. He was bruised and banged up very badly, but the doctor said, "I can't explain what happened. I thought I was going to be telling you there was nothing we could do, but instead, I get to tell you that you're very lucky." I said, "We are not lucky. We are blessed. Our God saved our little boy." When we finally got to see him, his head was no longer caved in. He did have to be bound to the bed for 2 weeks, or not get up for 2 weeks, but it was nothing we couldn't handle. When we went for a checkup, our family doctor cried and hugged Braden. He said, "I prayed so hard that I never thought I would see this little boy again. God is good. Braden is our little miracle boy." So that is a testimony of how great God is. Here's another one. This is a shorter one. It's from a young man named Taylor. He said, "I went from being an alcoholic teenage preacher's son to sober like an off switch at about age 21 after 5 years of heavy drinking. I had gotten saved at age 5 and grew up in church, but as a young teen, I just had a rebel bone in me and got addicted to alcohol." He said, "I stayed drunk. On my 21st birthday, I had been drinking about 8 hours straight and simply heard the voice of the Holy Spirit inside me say, 'Either do what I've called you to do, or I won't continue wrestling with you anymore.'" He said it sounded so stern, but so loving. He said, "I was instantly sober. That just doesn't happen." He said, "By the grace of God, I'm still sober years later. Praise the Lord." God can do anything. Sometimes we pray for our lost friends and loved ones, and we think something horrible has to happen to them to finally bring them to their senses. God can just speak to them. You know, he knows how to get through to each individual person. So that right there tells you God is working on folks. So if you have lost friends and loved ones, God's working. He's working on them. Mark 11:24 says, "I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe you've received it, it will be yours." So my question for you is, are you tired of feeling helpless? Are you tired of it? Because sometimes we go through life feeling helpless. Do you let Satan push you around? He is a big bully, and he wants to push you around. Do you let him? Do you let him do that? You need to realize you have power and authority. Learn what that authority is. Start exercise that authority, and then expect results. So I'm just going to pray for us right now that we will all be a little bit stronger Christians, because I don't care how long you've been a Christian. Sometimes you fall into the pit of thinking you can't do anything about your situation, or God doesn't care, or whatever other thing we try to throw out there. But let's just pray right now that we will all come to that realization. Number one, we are not going to let Satan push us around, right? We're not going to do it. We're going to tell him to get out. So let's pray. Father, we just come before you. I am so thankful that you have given us power and authority over the plans and schemes of the enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But we have mighty God on our side. We have our Father. We have our Dad. We have you, Holy Father, who is so mighty and so great. You're greater than any situation we face. You are greater than any financial situation, any illness, any storm or force of nature, anything that comes against us. You are mighty and you are great. And we just praise you and thank you for that. We thank you that we are precious in your sight. We thank you that we are children of the King. And we can walk in your authority. So, Father, I ask that you help us to start living like it. That we start living like you are Lord God Almighty. Start living like we are children of the King. Help us not to walk around downcast and feeling like the devil has got another one over on us. Let us stand tall. Let us stand firm. Let us remember that you are the glory and the lifter of our heads. Help us to remember that you place us on a rock, that you protect us, that you are a strong tower, that we can do all things through you. Help us never, ever to forget that, and to stand strong and be a light to other people, that when they see us going through situations, they may ask us, how can you still have a good attitude? How can you still be joyful going through this? And it would give us the opportunity to share who our Father is. So Lord, we just praise you. We ask that you would help us to walk in your might and your power. I ask it in Jesus' name.